Morning. It's wonderful to see you all here in a place where I believe that we all should be on the first day of the week, gathered together, assembled with other brothers and sisters, seeking, as it's been said, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate the songs that have been chosen, very appropriate, whether Rusty knew it or not. I was thinking, well, that's a good song. I appreciate that so much that he picked that, especially when what we're going to be focusing in on speaks very much to what we've already sung, and connecting also very well with what's in the bulletin, and appreciate what was said in Louis's prayer. And we are thinking, as you see on the screen, we have in mind this morning our yearly theme, walking hand in hand with my Lord, which I thought was very appropriate that the song that was previously chosen, hand in hand with Jesus. And I pray that we have been meditating not only on what that theme articulates, but the message, the verses that are attached to our yearly theme. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. If you would, open up your hymnals to song number 416, so you can follow along with me as we seek this morning to better understand the message of hymn 416, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Now, if you do recall last week, what was one of the messages that Eric presented was the providence of God. Now, if you see what hymn number 417 is, the providence of God. I find that very interesting, and I promise you that, at least from my perspective, I can't speak for Eric's perspective, that this was not planned, that it happened this way. But nevertheless, maybe what we're talking about today is providential. Or I can see some humor that God has. And I appreciate that we're going to be focusing on an important hymn this morning. And what we normally do when we focus in on a hymn is try to understand a little bit about the background, where and how it came about. So let's take a moment to consider the origins of this particular song. First of all, we do not know who penned or who was the original author. It's just unknown. Sometimes these songs that we have in our hymnals, we just don't know who was the original composer. But if you look in our song books, we see that at the very bottom, there is an arranger. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, what is an arranger? Well, it has been said that an arranger is someone, they take an existing song and give it new life. They, in some ways, adapt an existing composition in various ways. This includes the harmony, the melody, tempo, the tone of the song, the mood. And that's just to name a few among others. For Just a Closer Walk with Thee, we see that the arranger listed in our song books is by an individual, a man named Mosey Lister. Now, just a little bit about this individual. He was known for being a gifted musician, singer, and songwriter. And another thing we don't know about is when he actually published this work, this actual arrangement of Just a Closer Walk with Thee. But it is a consensus by most that this hymn originated sometime prior to the American Civil War. Now, whether that is the case is not what is ultimately important, but rather is the message that is contained in the song. That is the key. The key is this particular hymn aligned with what is stated in the Word of God? Is it a message? Is it a song that we can ultimately say amen after we sing it? I will mention a couple more interesting things that I found out while preparing this message, that this particular hymn is associated very commonly with funerals. And in New Orleans, for instance, they would accompany this hymn with a jazz band. This song has also appeared in motion pictures. And numerous artists in pop culture have recorded this hymn. Artists such as Johnny Cash, Lawrence Welk, Ella Fitzgerald, Loretta Lynn, and even you can find out there a home recording done by Elvis. And there have been plenty others who have done their own personal recordings of this particular hymn. And after finding out that there has been such a wide range of an impact, whether it be in hymns or the various artists who have recorded their own rendition, I considered a question. I pondered this thought. Does the message that is found in Just a Closer Walk with Thee somehow get lost with this over saturation that we find in pop culture? Do people get the message, or does it somehow get lost? There's no doubt that this is a very popular hymn, and I pray that as we look at it more closely, we will appreciate it so much more so by the end of this lesson. So verse 1 says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Whomever wrote this expresses the essence of our humanity. One source that I came across said, it acknowledges the frailty of human life and willpower and asks for Jesus' companionship throughout our daily life. That is a good summation of what is stated here. The familiar words of the Apostle Paul should come to mind when he wrote from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have to be brought down low, humble at times, because only in those situations do we tend to lean and look to God. At those times, we are more apt to recognize Him as our source for strength to endure whatever trial, temptation that we may be going through. Because our world, at least in our culture, we are encouraged to deal with things by ourselves. You handle your own problems. Don't look to me. Be self-sufficient. However, there simply are times where we are just not able to carry or bear those burdens by our own strength. We just simply cannot do so. I'll give you one very simple illustration, but one very simple life application. And I believe that Stephen Clark, for instance, will maybe give a little grin to this, will appreciate this. But consider someone who's in a gym and lifting free weights. And quite often, someone might gesture to another individual asking, "Will you spot me?" Now, what that means is they're asking for one person to be a spotter for support. Because what they are attempting to do, the weight that they're attempting to lift, they may require some assistance. They may require some help because it may just be simply too heavy. In like manner, Christians are told to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So while we reside in our flesh, there is this constant struggle that we faced. Ephesians 6 comes to mind when we think about this struggle. And in that passage as well, it admonishes us to seek the Lord, to find strength in Him, relying on His might, because He has provided the armor that you need. You've been given all that you need to get it through this life and put it on and use it. As the composer continues in this verse, they express that Jesus, and this is just so beautiful, is able to keep us from all wrong. Immediately, certain verses should come to our minds that promise deliverance from sin. Especially, a very well-known passage that most of us probably could quote from memory, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." If you recall last week, Eric read from Psalm 19. And he actually read through verse 11. And I'll remind us of the rest of that passage, beginning in verses 12 through 14. As David wrote, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression." Now listen to this. If you never have highlighted in your Bibles this actual verse, I think this is something that is very beautiful and should be always in our minds, in our hearts, what David says in verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my Redeemer." Again, I believe that those are some of the most beautiful words written in Scripture. David recognized and knew of where he lacked, that he had this inability to always do things right. He knew of his failures. He understood that he would stumble at times. And he also understood that there were some times that he did not know he sinned. Yet he sought God's forgiveness and the direction to always do what was right. These words communicated a man that desperately wanted to be close to God, to always walk with the Lord. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." His brother James would also go on to write, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." This first stanza, the composer ends with acknowledging that ultimate fulfillment is finding and having that intimate relationship with the Lord. Remember, each step that we take should be one that is in step with our Lord. Verse 2. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. This second verse opens up with the reality of life, especially that of a Christian. Should go without having to say, but how often do we have this mindset or attempt to block out, maybe even delude ourselves into thinking that my life is supposed to be completely burden-free, no hardships whatsoever? After all, I did give my life to Christ, right? I said, I believe him, I acknowledge him as my Savior, therefore no problems whatsoever I'm supposed to have. It's so easy, nothing bad is ever supposed to go wrong. Those persecutions that occurred during the first century or to those early Christians, that doesn't happen to me. Those days are long gone. Do we ever have those type of thoughts? Have they ever trickled into our mind? If we look at what Scripture says, there's absolutely no shortage of passages that speak of the trials that we will endure in this life. In Acts 14, Paul shares of one of his personal experiences of the many toils and snares that he had to endure. Beginning in verse 19 of Acts chapter 14, "But Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying," here's the key, "through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Granted, most of us will never experience the trials that Paul or many of the individuals at that time would go on to experience. Most of us will never even come close to experiencing what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, which probably most of us are familiar with. In one particular verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he mentions one word, Paul does. He mentions it 8 times. I thought it's very significant, and it goes very well with this verse of this hymn. He mentions the word dangers, or as your version translation may say, perils. 8 times. I think that'd be something that we need to pay attention to. He wrote saying, I have been on frequent journeys in dangers or perils from rivers, dangers or perils from robbers, dangers or perils from my countrymen, dangers or perils from the Gentiles, dangers or perils in the city, dangers or perils in the wilderness, dangers or perils on the sea, dangers or perils among false brethren. Most likely none of us will have had experience anything like that, or will, due to this intensity of the persecution that Paul had to endure. But we just can't be oblivious to the facts that are written in Scripture. The facts that challenge us will inevitably arise. I believe most of us realize that fact, and I believe that most of us realize and recognize the fact that some at this very moment are experiencing persecution for the name of Christ. And I hope that we keep them in our hearts and minds. In the second and third phrase of this verse, the anonymous author takes almost a play out of the Apostle Paul's playbook, where he asks these rhetorical questions. The first being, if I falter, Lord, who cares? And the second, who with me my burdens share? Taking this from a worldly or superficial view with these questions would seem to have merit. You think that the world mocks, they scoff at those individuals that hold on to their faith, especially when trials will arise. Even to a greater extent, the world, which Satan uses, will deride those that are faithful when they fall down. And we can sympathize, and we should empathize with the ones, with those that have difficulties, when they have struggles. But isn't it so encouraging when they get up and move forward? Certainly it's not easy. David can no doubt sympathize and empathize. He had sorrows, a great many sorrows. He surely could relate to what these questions were actually asking. His words from Psalm 142 say, when my spirit felt weak within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me favorably. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Additionally, elsewhere, David knew the Lord cared. Even if everyone were to abandon me, the Lord will care for all who are his. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. These two questions should bring about a great amount of contemplation, a great amount of meditation on our part. And the world says one thing. You have hard times, and you cling to God. That's foolish. You should just forget God. We that believe and hold on to our faith say otherwise and believe otherwise, as we should. And we should look to Scripture. We should look to fellow brothers and sisters to help us in those times. And hopefully we realize that God is waiting for us to draw near to Him in all situations, especially when we need Him during those times of trial, trusting in His unfailing love. Because when we go through trials, He does care. We may think that He has left us. But that's just Satan wanting us to believe a lie. God cares. And if you ever think that He doesn't, just remember the cross. Remember that empty tomb. Because deceptive thoughts, they will always creep in. And we need to be able to say no to what Satan is trying to do and know for certain, without a doubt, that God cares and is near to those that love Him. As God's Word says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Verse 3. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to that kingdom shore, to thy shore. When I began to reflect on this particular verse, I must admit, I got a little misty-eyed. Maybe it was because I had a very beautiful piece of music playing at the time. Maybe you've heard of it, Clair de Lune by Claude Debussy. Maybe that was it, but I don't think so. Because even though music can heighten and does heighten our emotions, and they can stir them, but it was just imagining the Lord. Imagining Him, picturing Him, extending His hand of welcome into His eternal kingdom of heaven. Just that beautiful thought and image to behold. One that I pray that we will all one day experience. The first line of this final stanza brings us back to the frailty of our temporal existence. We don't undermine the significance of what we do during the moments that we have on this earth. But as we have talked about and studied in Ecclesiastes, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here this morning, listen to when we upload the class, the study, reflect on what we've been talking about in Ecclesiastes, and not only look at what we studied this morning, but take time to reflect on what we studied in the class so far. It's so very important. Not to say that all of our studies aren't very important, but as we've been talking about and reflect upon, we are just a mere vapor. We're only here for a brief moment in time. And that is our most precious commodity, time. Time is something that is gone in an instant. But in one split second of a time, the shortest amount, quicker than a blink of an eye, we will be like God and we will exist outside of time. Time will not have any meaning because our souls will pass on from one place to another, where we'll be like God and exist, as I mentioned, outside of time. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of a familiar passage, and it should point to our thoughts from this particular verse of this hymn. The Hebrew writer said, "And inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment." Corresponding to those words, looking at what Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Some translations say evil. The composer, though, has hope in this final stanza. He has an expectation that they, when it's their time, that the Lord is going to be there to welcome them into heaven. That was certainly their expressed desire in the last two phrases of this third verse. There are conditions, though. There are conditions that we well know, those of us who study Scripture and look at just the numerous passages, that in order for us to be welcomed into the eternal abode of heaven, we must do from what God has commanded us. Again, what we've talked about and was expressed even in the book of Ecclesiastes. Jesus spoke of that there are conditions in numerous places. Just to name one in Matthew chapter 7. And we acknowledge that not only Jesus and in other scriptures and even in the Old Testament, and the significance of obedience, but the apostles as well spoke of the conditional nature of one who is in a right relationship and one who will ultimately be welcomed by the Lord once the time on this earth is over. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Just before he penned those words, Peter references what those qualities were and are. Those qualities that are to be demonstrated in a faithful Christian. One who is closely walking with the Lord, who is walking hand in hand with Jesus. He mentions faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If a person has and is demonstrating these qualities, then they are a true child of God. And as Peter said, that individual will find Christ welcoming on that final day. Paul told Timothy in his final letter, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." And then the chorus reads, "Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." In the days of old, God told the children of Israel, "You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess." Now, here he is speaking more with the temporal blessings that they would be promised if they would have fellowship, if they would walk with him according to his commandments, having that holy relationship that he had commanded them to have. But how much greater are the blessings that have been revealed to the Christian that walks daily with the Lord? How much greater? Scripture tells us, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. In this beautifully written chorus, the composer is pouring out their heart, imploring the Lord of the universe, imploring Jesus to be by his side. Jesus has told us, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Jesus also said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him, and he with me." Hopefully, we've each allowed the Lord into our hearts and that he is not still knocking outside of it. The writer of this hymn longs for that deep, intimate connection with the Savior. And the Lord Jesus has made that available. He's made that available to everyone who desires that intimate relationship. But it must be our yearning, our daily yearning to have that relationship. Our heart should ache for the desire of that closeness. Always desiring more of what the Lord has poured forth from his word. Praise God that he invites us to be his own, and he continues to call the lost to be found and the found to be ever close to him. To walk hand in hand in this life in order for us to be welcomed into the next. Someone once said, "When we walk hand in hand with God, we are able to face the difficulties and trials of life without fear. God will give us the confidence and courage to conquer any situations that may hinder us from beginning or from becoming all that he would have us to be." I pray that as we have looked at this hymn that we so very often sing, we have developed a greater appreciation for it, for its message. And as we sing our various hymns, psalms, spiritual songs, I pray that we're drawing ever closer to the Word of God, that we're seeking to understand more of God's Word, and that our walk with the Lord grows closer. "Just a closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be." May that be our desire today. May that be our desire every moment that we are blessed with while we have time on this side of eternity and until we meet the Lord face to face. We are going to sing, "Let Him In." And if your walk has not yet begun, then I encourage you to start. And if your walk has faltered, weakened, maybe you've stumbled, I would encourage you to allow us to help you. Allow us to pray with you. Allow us to encourage you. Because we all need encouragement. If you have a need, while we're singing, "Let Him In," please present it now as we stand and sing.